This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hitting the news you might have missed. It's Denton's Daily News.
All right, Denton, what do you got?
All right, we're going to start with a massive news yesterday, seemingly coming out of nowhere. UVA men's basketball head coach Tony Bennett, who won a national championship a couple years ago with the Wahoos, announces that he is retiring just under 3 weeks ahead of the start of the regular season for UVA. He's supposed to speak in a matter of moments to hopefully, by the end of this segment, we'll have a better understanding of why he's deciding to retire 3 weeks before the season starts, but it's shocking nonetheless.
An incredible run for Tony Bennett at Virginia. It certainly would appear it's not health-related. I think ESPN reported that last night, that their sources said it was not health-related. Look, like Jay Wright, like Nick Saban, you know, I'm not putting him into that category. He won one national championship, and, you know, Saban and Jay Wright a lot more than that. But Tony Bennett, probably like a lot of coaches, it's not what they signed up for. You know, college sports has changed, and if you already have the accomplishments, the resume, and by the way, the bank account to back it up, you know, you probably get tired of, you know, re-recruiting your own players, you know, year in and year out, sometimes within the same season, re-recruiting your players. Things are going to have to change when it comes to the portal and NIL. There's going to have to be some structure around it rather than what it's been. But you've seen, you know, coaches essentially say, yeah, this isn't fun anymore. And a lot of you would say, well, too bad. I mean, you're making $4, 5, 6, 7, 8 million a year. Things change, you know, in employment situations. Deal with it. And if you don't want to, that's fine too. Because, you know, they're not digging ditches, that's for sure. But it isn't what, you know, a lot of these guys like to do. They like to coach. You know, they like to focus on a practice plan, a game plan for the next opponent. Recruiting's always been a part of the sport, but that's changed completely with unrestricted annual free agency, which is what college players have. It'll be interesting to hear what he says. Look, the retiring on the eve of a season beginning is problematic. I'm not saying that it is for Virginia, because maybe they knew this all along, or they've known it here recently. You know, sometimes you'll see coaches do this. Dean Smith did this, but he did it because he wanted Bill Guthridge, his longtime assistant, to be given the opportunity to take the job and run with it, rather than them having a big offseason search. Maybe that's Tony Bennett's plan. Maybe he's got an assistant. You know, he's got that one guy that's been with him for a long period of time. Not Sanchez, the guy that's been with him for 3 or 4 years, the guy that coached at Charlotte. I think it's Jason Williford. Maybe, you know, he wants one of those guys to be elevated to head coach and not to have a full search land on some big name if he had called it quits at the end of last year, and give that longtime assistant an opportunity, because it's too late to go out and find somebody. You know, they're going to have to name one of the assistants the coach for 2024-2025. I don't know what the reasons for doing it so late were. I just know this guy could coach. I mean, he could really coach. Stylistically, so much different. You know, Remember the JT 3 years at Georgetown, and people said, it's the Princeton offense, and he can't recruit because of it. The truth was JT3's offense wasn't exactly the Princeton offense all the time. And by the way, Georgetown hasn't won at that level since JT3 left. He was a hell of a coach too. But Tony Bennett with this style, with the pack line defense, with turning games into fewer possession games, using a lot of the shot clock, that does affect recruiting, but it didn't matter. He won. He won big, while he was there. Tony Bennett will go down. He was almost in the top five. He's number six all time on the list of ACC coaching wins. He was at UVA for the he has 364 wins as a head coach, sixth behind Coach K, Dean Smith, Roy Williams, Gary Williams, and Leonard Hamilton. Ahead of Kremen's lefty, Terry Holland, in the ACC in terms of wins. Most importantly, he got UVA the title. They had won ACC tournaments. They had won ACC regular seasons. They were a dominant force in the ACC during his time. And yet they had not done anything in the tournament. They had some of those backbreaking Sweet 16 losses, Elite Eight losses to Michigan State, to Syracuse. And then obviously the incredible embarrassment and disappointment of losing in the first round to UMBC in 2018, the first one seed to lose to a 16 seed. But he came back the next year and they won the national championship. And at Virginia, where basketball is important, they've had some good football runs at UVA, but at its core, kind of like Maryland, it is a basketball first school, like a lot of the traditional longtime ACC schools were, other than Clemson and Florida State. And they had had, runs. They had had that incredible 4-year stretch of Ralph Sampson of being ranked number one in the country, pretty much top three to top five throughout. They went to one Final Four in Ralph's sophomore year and lost to North Carolina in the national semifinals. And then they got beat in Atlanta in the Elite Eight game in that incredible 1983 NC State run. They lose to the Wolfpack there. The NC State Wolfpack go on to win that title with Valvano. Virginia does not get their championship with Ralph. Jeff Jones took them to a Final Four the next year after Ralph. They went to the Final Four with Terry Holland, and then Jeff Jones took them deep into the tournament, not the Final Four, but took them to an Elite Eight appearance or two. But nobody won like Tony Bennett won at Virginia. His winning percentage overall, 70.728 win percentage overall in his years at UVA, a 700 win percentage in ACC games during that stretch. After the first couple of years, they just became an absolute juggernaut. 10 tournament appearances in his years at UVA. Just a great basketball coach. System, he had one. And it was so hard to score against them. They shortened those games. You had to make the most out of every possession. And then you had to guard for much of the shot clock. And if you thought you could fast break against them, forget it. They didn't send anybody to the offensive glass. Everybody was back on defense. Loved watching his teams over the years. Thought he was a phenomenal basketball coach, sometimes doing it with less talent than the Dukes and the Carolinas. For a couple of years, he got there for Gary's last 2 years, in College Park. Just an outstanding basketball coach. I mean, really, UVA during his tenure in the ACC, it's their best run ever, obviously, with a national championship to show for it, thankfully. There aren't a lot of teams in that league as an ACC person and a Maryland person that I rooted for, Duke and Carolina. But when UVA won it, God, I wanted them to win that title. Really wanted them to win it. Their fan base had yearned for it, had waited lifetimes for that moment. And they got it. You know, and they didn't have a chance to defend it the next year because of COVID. But they were pretty good that next year, and you know, just an outstanding coach. Shocking to me. I don't know if for UVA people in the know if it was shocking. Maybe it was. Maybe it wasn't. It'll be interesting to hear his explanation today during his presser. Outstanding coach. Father was a great coach. You know, was incredible at Washington State, to the tournament a few times. Good run for UVA. And look, it's a really good basketball school and a phenomenal basketball conference. If whomever the interim coach is this year, if he doesn't win big and if they go out searching, that'll be an enticing job. They'll be able to pay there. They've got a great fan base. They've got great facilities. They've got a great arena. They're in a great league. They've got history. You know, they'll be able to find a really solid coach at UVA. All right, what else, Dutton?
Real quick, just following up on that, he's talking now. It doesn't look like there's like a massive reason. I mean, he said one of the quotes was, "I realized I'm no longer the best coach to lead the program." And then he answered another question, or I don't know if he's doing a monologue, but he says it's right for student athletes to receive revenue. So it doesn't feel like he was forced out of this by NIL. Maybe that played some sort of role into it. I also thought that he made a really unique comment at the beginning of his press conference. He said, "I gave everything I can for 15 years. I was so excited to test myself as a coach against Hall of Fame coaches." And when you think about when he joined UVA, like Gary was still at Maryland. Obviously, you had Coach K at Duke. You had Roy at UNC. I do wonder if the changing landscape of the ACC not being as strong maybe killed his passion a little bit, because it certainly has felt like over the past couple of years that the ACC is very much down compared to what it was when it was in the mid-2000s when he joined, or late 2000s when he joined.
Here's the money quote. I'm reading it right now. John Rothstein, I just tweeted it out. Tony Bennett, quote, "The game and college athletics are not in a healthy spot. I think I was equipped to do the job the old way," closed quote. There you go. You know, another coach who just, it's a different job. It's a different challenge. And, you know, he's accomplished. He's got a resume that's a borderline Hall of Fame resume at this point. Probably is. And he's tired of chasing his own players, re-recruiting his own players in season after one season, you know, having to deal with the collectives and the money that's being raised to go out and recruit. You know, by the way, it's hard enough to recruit the old way. That was hard enough, you know, especially in recent years with, you know, so many schools basically paying players long before it became legal to pay players. You know, that was a big, you know, gripe for many, many years. I'm not talking about UCLA and a lot of, you know, UNLV. I'm talking about, you know, over the last 10 years, you know, Will Wade and play at LSU and places like that, Sean Miller at Arizona, you know, guys that were getting wiretapped, basically offering up money, you know, and that was hard enough. But now, you know, there's the quote, right? "The game in college athletics are not in a healthy spot. I think I was equipped to do the job the old way." Just, I think there's always room, by the way, with a great coach and a great resume, on even a day like this, to wonder, why did you do it now? You recruited players. They committed to UVA for you. Transfers committed to UVA. I don't know what their squad looked like this year. I don't know the reason for it, and it may be that he just got to that realization recently. And sometimes you think they should stick it out for the year, at least, to commit back to the players that committed to them. But the commitments right now are so fleeting and so short-term anyway. But, yeah, interesting. He's a Hall of Fame coach.
Definitely. Oh, definitely. I mean, you gave the numbers. He was the best coach in the ACC for a period of time that had Roy Williams and Coach K still in the conference.
Yeah, no doubt.
And he also made me a lot of money when he won a championship. So I like that, too. More basketball news. Tough day for you and I yesterday. Kawhi Leonard out indefinitely. I don't know that we're ever going to see Kawhi Leonard play meaningful basketball again. It's like a re-inflammation of that right knee that's been bothering him for I don't know, like a decade, it feels like, at this point. So he's out indefinitely, not going to start the season for the Clippers. I'm bummed. You know, Kawhi is going to be, we argue a lot about like generations. Imagine in 20 years trying to explain how good Kawhi was to like the next young generation that does not want to validate anything the older generation has ever done.
Look, I've been a big fan of his. I just don't know that over the last, you know, 10 to 12 years, if there's been healthy, when he's been healthy, a better two-way player in the game. And I just, I also think that when he was healthy, he was a big-time clutch performer as well. But he's also a different guy. He hasn't been easy in the spots that he's been in. And then he's been injured consistently year in and year out now for several years. And he just can't get healthy. You know, whether it's load management, that didn't work last year. They went with, okay, we're going to lessen the load management. And then he's having, at one point last year, he was having a borderline MVP season. He had about a month and a half stretch where he was the best player in the league last year. And then you get towards the end of the year, and he gets hurt again, and he's not available for the postseason. He tried to play in a game or two, but he was not physically able to do it. I mean, look, that team's changed, obviously, with the Paul George trade anyway. But there were big expectations, I think, with he and George together. And George wasn't always healthy. But that's a good point. It's going to be really hard. Look, he's a first ballot lock Hall of Famer. You know, there's no doubt about that. I think it's going to be hard, though, to explain that, yeah, he was a two-time finals MVP. He was perhaps at times during his career for long stretches the best combined offensive-defensive player. He was big-time clutch when they needed him to be in the postseason when he was healthy. But basically, you know, over the last few years, he was unable to participate in the playoffs. He's 33. They think that he'll be back. They think they're handling it the right way right now, and they're just not going to put him out there early in the season to risk it. But that's not a team that's going to, you know, weren't they at one point last year, weren't they pretty close to the one seed? That stretch where he had a great run, like in, I don't know, was it December, January, February? Maybe January, February.
It was around that like winter time frame when James Harden started to play really well. Russ was playing all right. Like they really were putting something together, and
yeah.
Then it kind of fell off a bit.
Yeah, then it fell off a bit, and he got hurt. Yeah, his career is going to be a tough one to explain. That's a good point, because not only that, just, you know, he left a dynastic situation in San Antonio. Didn't like the way they handled his injuries. He has not been an easy guy. You know, he's definitely a different guy. He is incredibly, incredibly introverted. All right, what else?
All right, how about some of those baseball games? You kind of mentioned it. This is the game-winning home run from that Cleveland 10th inning showdown with New York.
Swung on, hit high, hit deep to left. There she goes.
Just an
was
absolute.
Was that the Noel homer or the Fry homer?
That was the David Fry two-run shot in the bottom of the 10th. An absolute no-doubter. And Cleveland gets their first win of the series to make it 2-1 against the Yankees.
Yeah, that was the MLB playoffs at its best. You had in the 8th inning, in a 3-1 Cleveland game, Judge come up after Soto had walked, and he hits one opposite field home run. The first time he's hit a home run in the postseason where it gave his team a lead like late in a game. And then Stanton comes up next at bat. He goes deep. So you're thinking, oh, it's over. The Yankees are going to win this game, because both of those home runs were hit off of Clase, the best reliever in the game. And then in the 9th, you get this guy, Big Christmas Noel, who comes up two outs. Lane Thomas hits one deep off the wall. He's in there for a double, so the tying runs at the plate against their best closer, and Noel cranked one 404 feet. That was actually, in many ways, the more dramatic of the two homers. If you were asking me to rank the two home runs or the four home runs hit in the eighth and the ninth and tenth innings, the Noel home run was the most dramatic because they're down to their last out. Nobody's on base. Lane Thomas comes up. He gets on base. And then Noel, as a pinch hitter, comes in, two strike count. Was it two strikes on him? It was two strikes on Fry. I think it was two strikes on Noel. Maybe it was a one strike count on Noel. But you're down to your last out, and he just murdered that ball. I mean, that was a bigger no. I mean, Fry actually waited a little bit. He wasn't sure. Noel was 100% sure. Incredible, dramatic, game-tying two-run homer in the bottom of the ninth that goes to extras. Did you know, by the way, that was the first postseason game to go to extra innings, that game last night between Cleveland and New York. And then they get an incredible defensive play in the top of the 10th at first base. And then you get the Fry home run, two-run shot. That was a two-strike count. The Noel at bat was a one ball count. My fault. Yeah, it was the second pitch. And he just absolutely annihilated the changeup from Weaver. That was exciting. Baseball's great when it's like that.
I mean, under the lights, raucous environment, that's everything you want in a game.
Cleveland fans, actually, if you look at the crowd prior to the Judge and Stanton home runs, and then you look at it with two outs in the ninth, people had left. People had left the ballpark. There were empty seats, scattered throughout because they thought it was over, down 5-3, headed to the bottom of the ninth, especially when they're two outs. I mean, that's the cool thing about baseball. It's never over. There's not a clock. It's not like they're taking knees. You still get to have that last at bat. And then the other one after Lane Thomas doubled. Really, really fun to watch. Dramatic. Cleveland fans are awesome. Even though some of them left there. But that place was a madhouse. What else? Anything else?
A little less of a madhouse in the second game. I mean, the Dodgers, their offense is on fire at the moment. So they beat the Mets 10-2. Ohtani hit a massive homer again. They look like they're playing their best baseball at the best time.
Yeah. Ohtani last night was 1-for-3 with another home run. He also scored four times because he walked three times. He had a stretch. I think it was a 2 or 3 game stretch without a hit. Prior to the last two games, he's gone back-to-back games with home runs. I'm looking at it. Well, no, it was 2 out of 3 games without a hit. But still on fire now. With back-to-back games, home runs. They're up 3-1. We get another game today in New York this afternoon, and then Yankees Cleveland tonight, Game 4. Dodgers might put it away.
Yeah, the Dodgers could put it away tonight if they really start to play well, which they have. I mean, if they continue this, it's going to be over.
Yeah, I think this one's probably over. Although, people have counted the Mets out all year long, and they keep fighting back. All right, we got a guest from Charlotte who's going to be on with us to talk Panthers at 11:35. I'll hold off on the smell test. I was going to do it next. I'll hold off until next hour.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cliff Kingsbury said yesterday that I want you to hear. We'll get to that next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.